Good morning. It's a privilege and an honor to speak and share the Word of God with you. My name is Sandra Nickel. I'm almost senior, a couple more classes at Western Seminary, and we fulfill the pulpit supply for pastors, and it is every time afresh, anew, and I pray this will be for the rest of my life, that every time I preach, I consider it a high privilege and an honor. Will you pray with me? In the name of Jesus Christ, I make myself available to you, God. I pray that the ears of your people will be open, their hearts will be ready to receive that which you have laid in my heart for them. Holy Spirit, open ears, open heart. Welcome in this place. As you take over your people and teach to them personally, as your servant presents herself available to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The good old passage of Philemon, it's a little book that hardly anybody reads anymore. It's hard to find something unless you're breaking it down into verse by verse. But I encourage you to look at those passages that you don't normally look at in the Bible, because a lot of times they have nuggets of gold hidden there that you want to be able to draw out for yourself. And this is one of them. I picked two verses, and as I was thinking about it, talking to your pastor, Matt, it was amazing. I usually just send a little email, you know, when we're touching base about the sermon and anything that he has laid on his heart for his congregation. I believe he's a pastor. I want to be able to connect and see what God is laying on his heart. So when I contacted him, I said, is there any specific passage or topic that you have in your heart, any, you know, in between topics, anything you want me to follow? And his response blessed me so much. You know what he responded? Nope, nothing specific. Just make sure you preach the gospel. So when I sent an email back, I said, it sounds like your church is the kind of church where I love to preach, because I'm tired of motivational sermons that are so common in the churches today. And I believe that a lot of the pastors are feeding their sheep whipped cream instead of solid, good food, spiritual food. So again, that's why I'm encouraging you to go back and look at the passages that you normally not look at, because a lot of the times, those are the ones that have the meat. You look at Philemon and then the passage of Luke. If anybody doesn't hate mother and father, I mean, we'll look at that. And I want you to stay alert. But let's look at the passage of Philemon first. My version, it says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. This is the verse that I want to focus on. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. I thought, that's interesting. I have never noticed that all the years that I've been studying the Bible in Greek and Hebrew, and all the years that we have to write sermons on, this is the first time I noticed this. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that, those two words I have not noticed, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So I turned it and I thought, so really that means that if we are not active in sharing our faith, we are going to have a hard time fully understanding every good thing that we have in Christ. And it was like the light just really went on for me as far as what God had for you today. And I realize as I'm reading this that some of you, maybe not all of you, might be going, oh, sharing your faith, are you talking about the E word? You know, the E word, evangelism? And I just thought, yeah, there is something about sharing our faith that scares us, that challenges us, that makes us feel inadequate, all kinds of things. might come to your mind when you think about sharing your faith. Maybe some misconceptions, you know, of people going door to door and saying, hey, do you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And people going, you know, closing the door on your nose, and people offending other people, stepping on their toes. There's all kinds of misconceptions and ideas, wrong ideas, that we have, fears, a sense of inadequacy when we think about sharing our faith. But I just believe that we need to push, find out what it is in spite of the fears, and find out, are we supposed to do it the way that those people do it or those people do it? Are we supposed to be, you know, we're going to look like Mormons knocking, or Jehovah's Witnesses? I mean, those are the ones that go door to door. We need to wrestle with this. The reason why we need to wrestle with this is because Philemon is telling us, hey, there's something here for you. There's something here for you. Praying, he's praying that the people will be acting and sharing their faith so that they will have a full understanding. There's a connection between giving and receiving. There always is. Giving out your faith allows you to receive something from God that otherwise you would not receive. I'm not saying it. The gospel is. The passage is. The letter is. Because listen to it again with new ears. I pray that you may be active. I pray, Philemon, Paul is saying, that you may be active in sharing your faith to Philemon so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Now, think in practical terms. Think of the people that are active in sharing their faith. Don't they look like they really understand God? Don't they look like they really have this full life in Christ? Don't they look like they understand God a little better than maybe you do? There's a connection there between sharing your faith and understanding God. It's really, really interesting. So I thought about, okay, if that's the case, and I'm going to challenge this congregation to find their own way. You don't have to do it in A, B, or C way. You don't have to have a formula. But if I'm going to challenge this congregation to share their faith, to find a way to share their faith, then I'm going to begin by pointing out the misconceptions. I think a lot of times we're afraid, and there's all this mystery about sharing our faith because we think that we're supposed to go to all the ghettos and the dangerous places. And yes, there's a place for that, but maybe not necessarily for you. Maybe your job is to share your faith, to speak it out with believers. It doesn't necessarily have to be with unbelievers. Oh, that's shocking. Some of you might think, well, there's different levels of sharing your faith. And just like there's different functions for the body of Christ, there's also different ways in which we can share our faith. Sometimes we do it within the body. We say, you know what God did for me the other day, sister? Let me tell you about it. You're sharing your faith. It doesn't say evangelism, but it allows you to have a fuller understanding of the gifts and the good things that we have in Christ. Now, for some of you, that's not going to be enough. Some of you will be called to go to the prostitutes, to the drug addicts. Some of you will have that. Others will be called to share your faith in a nursing home where people are left with, they've even forgotten what it feels like to talk about God with someone today who's walking with God afresh. For some of you, it would mean talking about your faith with children, teenagers. There's different groups of people, and there's different places that you will be called to share your faith. So once that's established, think about the things that inhibit us from sharing our faith in whatever shape or form, whether it's evangelism or simply teaching or sharing. I think one of them is punishment. We fear that God will punish us if we're not actively doing this, which Philemon invites us to do. The other one is that we will look like fools. and be rejected. And nobody wants to be rejected, you know. Nobody wants to be pushed away. Nobody wants to look like a fool. And so we end up loving ourselves more than we really love God. Because if I'm going to look after number one, then I'm not going to be taking a risk. And so we do not do it faithfully out of fear. The other fear is that it will not make any difference. Oh, well, you know, I shared it with someone the other day, and look, they're doing the same thing. And that would be because we are putting ourselves in the place of God. My job is to do what is right. My job is to share the gospel, to share my faith, to share the good things that God is doing. God's job, the Holy Spirit's job specifically, is to do whatever he needs to do with the truth that I've shared. It's not my job to change people, but it is my job to witness to the gospel and to what God is doing. So that's the difference. So sharing your faith with others is first and foremost for the love of God. And that is the title of the sermon. I'm going to go back to the title over and over. We do it for the love of God, not for the fear of God, even though there's a healthy fear that we can talk about another time if I come back and preach. But this is for the love of God. It's not fear of punishment. It's because we love God and we want to give because I want to understand more about God. You know, for me, it's like the times when I grow the most are sometimes the times when I'm preparing a sermon. I'm preparing to give, and God is giving and pouring into me, and I can't stand it. It's a fun thing that I give. I'm preparing to give, and he keeps on giving because I'm getting ready to give out. He keeps on filling me. As I pour out, he gives in. The more I pour out, the more he gives me. That's exactly what Philemon is talking about. We don't do it out of shame. You go preach the gospel, because otherwise you're not a good Christian. Otherwise, we're doing it out of fear of people. If that is what motivates us, then we need to sit in a closet, prayer closet, and find out what exactly is that God is calling us to do. Because we obey one Lord, and yes, we hear the voice of God in the context of community, but you have to have that gut feeling, that call that God has placed in your heart before you go out and do it for the love of God. If we do it for the love of God, it will be fun. It will be enjoyable. It will be a light burden, like the Gospels say. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. It will be fun. It will be something that you enjoy. That's how we know the motivation is the right one. If it's a heavy thing, okay, then it's not the right motive. And until you find yourself doing it for the love of God, you will find it a heavy burden to carry. So what does this faith sharing stuff really looks like? Well, the first thing I want you to know is that we find this motivation source not in books on evangelism, not in books about sharing your faith, but in the books of the Bible. We got plenty there. We can go to the Gospels, we can go to the letters, we can go to the Psalms, you can move back and forth. You got all these books, begin there. So many times we want to get ideas from Stormy Martian or whoever the latest writer of Christian books is. And they come and go. Have you noticed that? The purpose-driven life, whoosh, up and now I find him for a dime at the, you know, Goodwill. But it was way up there. But the Word of God will never, never lose its power. Will never go down. So go back to the main source. Go to the meat instead of the watered-down milk. Not that there are no good books out there. I'm reading a whole bunch of them. But it can never be your primary source. You need to go back to the Bible to get that inspiration. You need to read again. Luke 25 or 26, the second passage, really challenges us in this way. Do you notice I kind of picked a really difficult passage to preach on, the second one. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I think there are very few passages of the Bible that are stronger and more confusing than this one. Well, that's why I dove into it. I thought, this is good. We'll see what God gives me from this. And you know, when I began to just look at dictionaries and things that would explain this, none of them do. And I thought, okay, Lord, it's just you and I then. They give different ideas. What does it mean to hate your father and your mother and your children? This is, at first I thought, this shouldn't be in the Bible, Lord. But I trust he knows better, like you trust he knows better. Well, I began to think and pray about it, and I thought, okay, if I don't love something, then I push it away. If I don't love something, I don't choose it. If I don't love something, I'm not going to go for it. I'm going to leave it behind, so to speak. And I thought, doesn't that look and sound like hate? And I thought the word hate is probably the only one that the Lord could really find in our limited language. We find that out in seminary when we're trying to describe the Trinity or the language of God. We have come to a consensus. Our language limits us to describe the bigness, the magnitude, the wonder, the power of God. We're stuck in the language barrier. And no language, there's no other language that would be able to help us understand that language of God. That's why I think when we are finally in God's presence, we will be able to speak a language that is higher, that will shed more light into the questions that we have today as we walk on this earth. So I believe that the word hate is simply a way that God is using to help us understand you don't choose that if it's choosing between that and me. You push that back if it's choosing between, my calling and that. How many people have you ever heard of that are shunned because they chose what God had for them? How many marriages are divided today because one person is going for God and is choosing God and the other one is lagging behind and there's a division that instantly takes place because that person is choosing God? The bottom line is when we choose God, we end up hating everything else, not in the hate, vengeance sense of the word, but simply, we become of one mind, one spirit. We go for God. And for those of us who do it for the love of God, the good news is everything else will fall into place when we choose to do that. Those people who hated us because of our choice, that division that initially takes place in the family will become coherent, will become again whole if we persevere and stay firm in our faithfulness and our loyalty to God and in keeping him number one. Things will fall into place, but not right away. First, there's division. First, there's the sense of, leaving things behind. That's what the cross is all about. And that's not being taught today. That's not the gospel that we're preaching today. We're preaching, you pray and everything will be okay. Those of us, look, God says he'll be our shield. Well, why does the Bible say that God will be our shield? Because there will be war. Because there will be attacks and we need a shield. Why does the Bible talk about the sword of the Spirit? Because we're called to fight. Take your sword out. Why would it talk about warfare when there is no warfare? There is warfare. And we want to get past that. We want to skip the warfare part. We want to get to the candy, right? We just want the dessert. We don't want to have to go through all that in order to get to the other side. And because of that, many in the church today have lost their saltiness. Many, do you remember the verse that says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? I think that's why because we don't want to live radically. When the gospel says hate mother and father, it's a call to living radically. It's not about hating. It's about living as if the world would see it as hating. It's a radical call to live a life surrendered to Christ, to the Lord Jesus. That's the only way I know how to live. I had to pay a price many, many years ago. And this is not in my sermon, but I'm going to follow the lead of the Spirit. Many, many years ago, I'm the first Christian ever in a family that grew up with a lot of wealth, a lot of stability, a lot of, in Latin America originally, just when I was a child, controlling their environment around, very academic, very well known, and not Christians. And I was the first one who became a Christian. And I became a Christian because in the middle of my second year of law school, because I wanted to be like my maid. And it just hit them between the eyes. What? The maid? It doesn't make any sense. But I traded everything for whatever that woman had. And that's why I'm here today. Because someone, I see the connection, Lord. Because someone shared the gospel with me through their lives. That's why I did it. Someone shared without words, because she was my maid. She couldn't really speak to me about the gospel quite openly. But she was there for me lovingly, waiting for me when I'd come back from the parties at 1 a.m. My mother was there to point the finger. What are you doing? She was there to listen. How are you feeling? Was that something? What happened? Do you want to talk? And she had to get up the next morning early to work. But she could stay up until 2, 1, 2, 3 a.m. with me and lose sleep so that she would listen to me. That's the gospel. That's sharing the gospel. And so I learned to pay a price. And I learned from her that her God was number one. Nothing else was up there. Nothing else. No one was up there. She had left her home. I realized later on, she's a missionary, going into homes, working as a maid. She was a missionary. God had her as a missionary in my home so that I would come to know Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. She had God as number one. She shared her life. She hated everything else for the sake of God, for the love of God. She shared her life with me. And in doing that, she shared her God, who now is my God and your God. Many of us began with that umph of the Spirit, and it's now losing its saltiness. We have forgotten what it means to be joyful again. We have forgotten what it means to tell someone, guess what God did for me the other day? We don't want to look like Jesus freaks. I know the feeling, because I remember before I went on to seminary how weird people would look at me because I was sharing too much about God. It was almost like, you're not a pastor. Why are you? Only pastors are that weird, always talking about God. And now I have permission because I'm a pastor. I'm normal when I'm talking about God all the time. And I'm like, I guess it's okay now because I'm a pastor. I long for the day when everyone has that love and that desire and no one is seen as weird. When you don't have to be a pastor or a minister or a liturgist to give yourself permission or for people to give you permission to love God that much, to love God in the way that Luke is talking about. To almost look like you're hating everything else. Like if you were asked to surrender your firstborn, like Abraham did, that you would even go to that extent. That doesn't happen anymore, thank God. But if you really think about it, wouldn't Abraham today be seen as, he hates his son, look what he's doing to him. It's that radical love of God that the Gospel of Luke is talking about here, people. It's that love that made Abraham put his child, his firstborn, the one in whom all the promises of God rested. That is the love that made him put his own son right there. That is the love that made him lift that knife up over him. That was willing to plunge that knife into his own son for the love of God. That's the love of God that is rare today. And it breaks my heart because his love for us has not grown cold. Ours has. It shows in what we talk about. It shows in the way we live. It shows in our choices. It shows in everything. For the abundance of the heart, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, may God give us grace to live today, putting God as number one. May God give us grace that our love will never grow cold. May we not be the ones that hear the words of revelation that God spoke through John to the Laodicean church, because you're not hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. May that, those not be the words that we hear. May our love for God be rekindled afresh today. May we find the way, may we find ways to share our faith, to share our God with others the way my mate did. May we do it in Jesus' name and for the love of God. Let's pray again.